There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Welcome to episode 79 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. How do we really create a reality? Certainly, it is created by our vibration, and that vibration is a mix of our thoughts, beliefs, desires, fears, attitudes, and approach to life. We know that if we change up that mix, our vibration changes, and as a result, our reality changes. But how do we change that mix? How do we create our vibration in the first place? Well, it turns out that your vibration contains everything you focus your attention on. If you control what you pay attention to and how you focus that attention, you can create a vibration that will attract a reality you prefer. Today, we're going to talk more about attention and focus. The question this week comes from Allison, who has been wondering about what she's paying attention to and how her focus adds to her vibration. We'll read her question and hear what Joshua has to say about that. On the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Gary.
And Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, Gary.
Great to have you guys here.
Good to be here.
Yes.
Last week, I think we took our 1 week off that we've ever taken off in 79 episodes. It's bloody year. Maybe we did once
and the,
before. I don't
the
remember.
The sponsors were not happy.
Oh, my God.
Not happy at all.
Yep,
the sponsors had withdrawals.
Yes. Well, you know, when they're used to 6 million people listening to us talking about, you know, how important they are, the phones are ringing off the hook because
I know.
And so a week without us, well.
A little break.
I know. Nothing. Dead. No business. Nothing.
When Joe Rogan first started, he only had one sponsor. Do you know who that sponsor was?
Beer Factor.
No. The Fleshlight.
His own website.
The Fleshlight. Do you know what the Fleshlight is?
Fleshlight.
It's a device for men to get out their tension, we will say.
It's a thing. It's like another thing.
Fleshlight,
that men can put something into.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I have 7 of those.
Excellent. Good. So that might be our first sponsor, too. Who knows? Give them a call.
Mark call. No, let Mark call them.
Mark can call them. Since he's a fan already.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this episode is about focus and attention. And it's been actually, you know, how every week something comes up that seems to be a theme. Well, this is one of the themes. And in Isabel's question that Joshua did today was talking about focus, too. So it's pretty interesting how this idea comes through. And in reading Isabel's answer, you sort of realize that you can put your attention anywhere. And if you're able to put your attention on something and then see whatever it is as good, then that's fine. So Joshua was saying in Isabel's question that I think it was yours. Maybe it wasn't yours.
Yep.
I think it's this one we're going to talk about. But it was about if you can look at the news and see all the different stories on the news and then understand that they're going to present it in a way or talk about things that are designed to make you feel bad because we're all wrapped up in this emotion, not really realizing what these emotions are, you know, that if you can look at those things that are designed to make you feel bad and look at them in a positive way, then that's fine. And you add that positive aspects of those stories to your vibration. Whatever you're looking at, putting your attention on, you're adding that to your vibration. Because the universe thinks that if you're focusing on it, it must be because you like it. Because why would you focus on anything you don't like, right?
Right?
But we just get into this habit of focusing on things we don't like from time to time. But if you can't watch the news and focus on a way that makes everything good, then, you know, then just take your attention away from the news. That's what we started doing right from the beginning of listening to Abraham. We said, we're not going to watch the news anymore. And we used to watch the news every single night. Mm-hmm. Both of them, local and national news. And now I don't watch the news ever. And
never.
Yeah, and literally I don't miss anything. And the things I miss, I miss the big details of it, you know?
Right.
The gory details. So if something happens somewhere, I'll hear about it, but I just won't get the details.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Especially the local news is awful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The local news, it's just...
I know a lot of people who start their day off with the news.
I know.
I don't know. I can't imagine.
I wake up and turn the TV on.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you.
Yeah,
I start my day with Kyla Hinton on the Jock Teachings of Josh Meditation.
That's what I do, too.
You can get those on CD Baby.
Yeah.
And where else can you get those?
I'm not sure.
On iTunes.
On iTunes. There we go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
But true, I do that every single morning. I get up, take the dog out, whatever, feed the dog, and then we go back to bed and meditate every single morning. Every single morning. Mark, you were asking a question today about the difference between a guided meditation and just meditating silently. And then Joshua said, well, the benefit of the guided meditation, it also works on your beliefs at the same time. You can still notice your thoughts and suspend thoughts while you are casually listening to Kyla's voice that is talking about empowering ways to think about things, whatever the subject is. Yeah.
It has helped me so much, especially the relationship one. I listened to that one over and over and over. And every time a little bit more was internalized and then a little bit more to where it became part of me. Now, when things come up, I'll say, I cannot be taken advantage of. I do not have to defend my position.
Right.
All the things that I've heard will pop into my head when I need them now, which is fabulous.
Oh, that's wow.
Mark, did you read your answer?
No, I didn't read it. I was anxious to read it, and I didn't get to it yet. I'm going to read it right after our podcast.
Yeah, well, if somebody went to bed at a decent hour and could wake up, would be chipper like the rest of us. I've already read 16 questions, Mark. 16.
Well, I was chipper last night.
I bet you were.
While you were sleeping.
I bet you were. I can see you in my mind dancing right now.
Yep, I'm paying for it a little bit now, but
One of the things about meditating is that the whole purpose of it is to learn or to really realize what thoughts are coming in.
Yeah.
And your thoughts are the indication of the vibration you're emitting at the time, because what your vibration is doing is attracting thoughts. If you practice good feeling thoughts, then what you're doing is practicing a vibration that attracts good feeling thoughts. So by meditating, it helps you control your vibration. And by thinking good feeling thoughts in the moment, you are maintaining your vibration. You're actually creating your vibration. And I think that we've done this before, where maybe Joshua did it, where it's like, think of a butterfly. So what you're doing is you're changing your vibration so that you can attract the thought of the butterfly. And that's how you think of it. Now, that butterfly may never have existed. You may never have really seen it before. It's just some butterfly. Well, where does that butterfly thought come from? It doesn't come from your memory. It's access from infinite, you know, non-physical intelligence. And then if you say, okay, now think of a machine gun, so you can change your vibration to a machine gun. Now, the thought of the machine gun is just a thought. You're not defined by that thought of a machine gun. It doesn't make you bad for thinking of a machine gun or for thinking of the fleshlight, for instance. Right? It's just a thing. So in Mark's answer, it was like the thing, or someone, geez, I'm getting these all confused because I'm doing so many. But the thing you think of doesn't define you.
Right. Nothing defines us.
Yeah, it's just your vibration you're emitting at the time. And if you don't like that thought, then you can change your vibration that will attract the thought that you do like. And then that's the practice of creating your reality is by, you know, so it's deeper than just the thoughts you think. It's actually the vibration that's attracting the thoughts. So it's another layer of specifics.
So cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are not our thoughts.
No.
And we, so sometimes we identify with, you know, with our thought and our focus.
In whatever answer this was,
change it.
Joshua was going like, okay, if you're in a store and you have this idea to shoplift, right? Mm. That's just a thought that's, you know, it could be attracted through the excitement of it, or what would that be like? But you know, you get that thought, you might go, oh, that's a bad thought. You know, I'm a bad person for thinking that thought. I would never shoplift. You know,
right.
You sort of attach your self-worth to that thought, where it's just this random thought that comes in. You know? Yeah. So meditation allows you to identify the difference, you know, the thoughts are coming in, and that you can change your vibration to replace those thoughts anytime you want, and that the thoughts don't mean anything of themselves. Hmm. That's so deep. We are right. So deep.
Look at you. Who are you?
Yeah. We are deep.
So, Astrid,
who, she, by the way, is right now out drinking in 75 degree weather in Norway, and she wanted me to say hi from drunk Astrid.
Drunk Astrid is, oh, it's like 5 o'clock there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Hey.
Drunk Astrid.
That's awesome. Have fun.
Isabel, what were you saying about drunk Astrid?
Well, she posted on the Joshua Friends page her channeling of her inner self.
Yeah.
And what was interesting was her inner self said, your feelings don't define you either.
Right. Mm.
And I thought, oh, not only thoughts, but feelings. You can let it go.
Right.
Because I think what you were just saying, you can change your vibration in a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you don't have to, like, so if you have a bad feeling or if you have a bad thought, so what? Yeah. Move on. It's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joshua told me that very early on because I thought I had to stay with my feelings and feel them and work them out. And they said, nope, just you're not defined by that. Let it go. Move on. Reach for that higher feeling thought.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mark just asked a question about a friend who was depressed.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. And so if you're depressed, you sort of identify with that, you know? You sort of think, well, something's wrong with me. I need to be fixed. Or something's wrong with my life. That needs to be fixed so I can be better. Well, you can't be better. You're perfect as you are. It's just your habit of focus on in a way that causes you to create this spiral of, you know, momentum of bad feeling thoughts.
Even that statement, I am depressed. You are defining yourself. I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Good point.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's another thing altogether to get out of that. But even to know that you can get out of it and to know that the cause of it is just because you're focused in a way that is limiting.
Yes, you know? Yes. You're not bad. You're not wrong.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. So I guess if you're clinically depressed, you're told, well, you have to go to analysis or you have to take some drugs or whatever it is because there's something wrong with you. And no one's really saying that, well, you're just focusing on a way that isn't empowering.
Yeah. And what's interesting is they study the brain of these people who are depressed and they say, oh, their brains are all the same. So it must be people who there's something wrong with their brain. So this is how they are. So they're just going to have to deal with this for the rest of forever. Right. But there's science now that's showing that emotions actually can change, you know, neuro pathways in your brain. So it's not necessarily that these people have something wrong with their brains and then they feel bad. It's that this pattern of feeling bad changes the way that their brain works and like firing.
Yeah.
But that's not being disseminated or whatever the word is, like spread out to the public. Like it's still just this idea that there is this group of people and there is something inherently wrong with them and they just have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's what Joshua said in their answer. He said, it's not that you have a chemical imbalance and then you feel depressed. It's that you feel certain ways and think certain ways and then you get the chemical imbalance. Something like that, right?
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was that... Right. It's not the chemical imbalance that causes the depression. It's the depression that causes the chemical imbalance. The thing always follows it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's not the cancer that causes you to have a tumor. It's the approach to life that causes the cancer to show up as a tumor.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So they say, okay, everyone with cancer has this tumor. Well, and those without cancer don't have the tumor. Well, it's actually this, you know, focusing on in a resistant way for so long that causes that, theoretically.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
I'm visiting some friends who are just very skeptical by nature and atheists and have just a lot of like views that are set in stone on a lot of things. And we were watching Bill Nye, the science guy. He has a new show. And in one of them, he was talking about alternative medicine and just blasting it. And they did this piece where they had a guy who is a healer. And they picked an extreme, like it seemed really silly. Any of this can, depending on your perspective, I guess. But it was just interesting for me sitting with them watching it. And the thing that I was watching was this guy who was like yelling at somebody's stomach and healing that way, you know? And so it seemed really absurd and I could see their point, but I still, like, my persona was, because I'm sort of in that quote unquote industry or whatever you want to call it now, right. My persona was wanting to like make them on the TV wrong and then like argue with my friends about it. And I started to do it, but then I was trying to stop myself. It was just this really, I don't know, like there was inner conflict of like, what am I? Like, it's okay. They're allowed to have that opinion and my friends can have their opinion and it doesn't take anything away from me and what I do. And
right.
It's just,
yeah, very good.
Yeah. Tough, though. But I'm still like slipping little things in. We stayed up late one night, a couple nights ago, and knew that the kids were going to be up early. And so I told them about how I just set intentions before I go to bed. You know, I intend to get as much sleep as I need. And then when I wake up in the morning, you know, and other intentions, and then when I wake up in the morning, I intend to feel good today. I intend to do this. I intend to do that. And so they came out the next morning and were super tired. My friend was like, I got all the sleep I need. Well, then this morning he was like, I woke up this morning. I was like, what was it I was supposed to say I was going to feel? Oh, okay. I don't know. So maybe someone's thinking it a little bit.
Well, it all takes practice too. You know, that's the problem with the law of attraction in general is that people think, oh, just think positive thoughts and then everything will turn out. Lily had this restaurant, you know, and so this was, you know, she was always, you know, in the early stages of law of attraction. This was years ago. And she had this really beautiful Guatemalan girl who worked there, who is like, you know, dark skin, dark hair, dark eyes, and like 4'8". And she goes, yes, I am tall and beautiful and blonde.
And that probably worked for her as long as she didn't look in a mirror.
All right, let's get on with the quote of the week. Who would like to read the quote?
I will. If you saw yourself the way we do, you would live a much fuller and richer experience. The more you learn to love and appreciate the fullness of who you really are, the larger your life experience will be. Your expansion in this life is tied to your understanding of your value to the universe. Joshua.
I love this one.
Yeah. It's like really goes to show how limited we all live and how from when I'm doing these answers, I can feel the limitlessness of the people that are asking the questions. So I see them how the same way Joshua sees them. I see all of you guys the same way Joshua sees you. And then I see your own limitations there, too. And I also see them as guiding you slowly, question by question, to your fullness. And by 100 questions later, you're transformed into a completely different person. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes about 100 questions or even more, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes 200. But it's just amazing how when people first start out, how different they are than when they end up.
Oh, yeah. I would go back and read, like, my first questions, and I'm like, is that person?
Yeah. That's really funny. But isn't it funny, too, how there are still, like, moments where I, like, the past 2 weeks have been just all around this. Like, the universe has been showing me all this stuff to show me my own value. But I've just been having these moments where I feel like I'm back where I was in the beginning, where I just feel, like, the way that I'm looking at myself, I feel so small. And, like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Because you're glimpsing your magnificence that is you. So when you're not being that, you really notice it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you find, Kyla, that you get right out of it pretty quick? I was having Astrid last week, and we were talking about something, and I was working through it, and I had, like, a temper tantrum. I'm not exaggerating. Like, no. And it was like, okay, I'm better. I mean, that was it. I mean, that would have lasted for days. Yeah.
Interesting.
And it was just, I kind of stomped my feet. And
right.
I'm done.
Yeah. Bounce back time. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Lily and I have our little spats, but they don't last very long because we both know what we're doing, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And you guys probably throw it back at each other.
Yeah.
Authentic? I thought you were limitless.
No, luckily we don't do that because that would get bad. I learned not to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone often say to me, he'll say, well, that's not very Joshua-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
All good.
All right. All good. Do you guys want to get into the question of the week?
Sure.
Okay. Who's going to read for
Alice? It'll be me. Okay. Dear Joshua, on a brief trip away, my mind did not stop working on observing and questioning and redirecting. In restaurants, walking the street, at a ball game, I kept observing and questioning all sorts of things. I would notice someone I thought was attractive or unattractive, and I'd hear myself, I am not my nose. She is beautiful inside and out like me. I wonder if she's happy. I am connected to all these people, but how, etc. So many questions and observations. What's the difference? Is there one between attention and focus? I was paying attention to my thoughts and words over the weekend, and sometimes I felt good about it. I was loosely trying to stay focused on good feeling thoughts and really feeling good. But now I'm questioning myself. I get the feeling that there is a difference, and I would like to know what that might be. How can I use each correctly? Thank you, Allison.
Cool. Mark, you want to read for Allison? Or I mean for Joshua?
Dear Allison, you can bring your attention to anything. You might hear a siren in the distance and focus on that. Now, hearing the siren, two thoughts could come to mind. You might envision a car accident and someone being taken to the hospital. You might see someone struggling to survive and hoping they make it. You might think that car accidents are wrong and something should be done. Or you might marvel at the efficiency of modern-day rescue operations and how technology makes everything better so that anyone who ever needs assistance has it within a matter of minutes.
Okay, so here in this example, your attention is caught by something, okay? And generally, that's because you're a vibrational match to whatever it is.
Huh.
Your focus is how you perceive that thing. So if you hear a siren in the distance, it catches your attention, and you can either remove your attention from it, or you can focus on the positive aspects of it, how great it is that we have support for people who need it when they need it, and how they're rushing quickly to take care of things, and think, God, they're just a phone call away. Or you can say, oh my God, something terrible has happened to this person, I hope they're okay. That sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Now, okay, so anyway, that's the idea of what attention is, and then there's two ways to focus on it, either in an empowering way or a limiting way. Let's see how that matters. Okay, next one.
Okay. Your attention is brought to something, and your focus determines how you perceive it. If something grabs your attention, it is neutral. You might decide that based on some belief, it is good. If you think this, then you are given a good feeling emotion, such as joy, or maybe you feel goosebumps. It is a sign that you have a beneficial belief, which allows you to see this neutral thing as good. If you see something as good or right, then your perspective is in alignment with your inner self's perspective on the subject at hand.
Okay. So your attention is drawn to something, and then that thing is actually neutral. So this is the idea of duality. Mm. Nothing is good or bad, right or wrong. Everything is neutral. How you judge it creates what it is. And in the old approach to life where you're trying to control everything, you judge everything and you judge it either as right or wrong or good or bad. Mm-hmm. That's duality.
Yeah.
Duality is the old approach. We're all moving, that's a fear-based approach to life. As we move into a love-based approach to life, we no longer see things as good or bad, we see things as neutral, and then we choose how to focus on it, right? How to perceive it. So the perception is up to us. It is not inherently anything good or bad. It's up to us. Since we want good things in our lives, we want to choose to see everything as good. Obviously, the first words ever written was, there is no wrong anywhere in the universe. That is the whole basis of these teachings. There is no wrong. Everything's neutral. You focus on it in a way that will add to your vibration. It was funny talking about Alette is really advancing. She's a translator in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and she works for a law firm, and she translates English into Dutch and Dutch into English, right? She's hired full-time staff. There's two people who do this full-time. It's a really prestigious thing for a company to have their own translators on staff. And so she's always nervous about doing the translations and doesn't want there to be any errors because she attaches her own value to the quality of her work, right? She's defined herself by this. And so Joshua was saying, you are not defined by this. Nobody's going to care about the typos. What they're going to care about is how you translate the essence of the message from one language to another, not the words, because how they do it is they do it one line at a time, and her colleague just changes the words from Dutch to English, right? She reads the whole thing, and then she gets the idea of what it is, and then she translates the whole message of it, but she does a lot of typos in that way, and that she misses sometimes, and she thinks that's bad. So when I channel Joshua and do an answer, it's full of typos. And I go back and I correct some of them, but there are always still typos in every one of them. I don't care that much because I don't, you know, I'm not attached to the, I just want to get the message out, right, not how it's done. Right. And so on that last question to Alette, I didn't do any editing at all. And then sent it to her with all the typos in to see that it doesn't make any difference.
Great idea.
Yeah. Well, I was told to do that. Wow. Right? Joshua said, don't edit this one. Just send it to her so she can see that it's the message that's most important, not the grammar and the spelling and all that stuff.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I love
that. What did that have to do with this last paragraph?
I don't
Nothing.
Know.
That was for me. That was totally for me. That's my whole
get it out
right
there.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. Get it out there. Don't worry about it. Well, I have a point when Allison was talking about looking at people and judging, or she's pretty, she's attractive, she's not attractive. I've been focusing on that to eliminate judgment, because that's a big thing for me, to eliminate judgment. I'm just looking at people and saying the light in me sees the light in you. Mm-hmm. So I can... Mm-hmm. I can notice Kyla walking down the street, and instead of saying, oh, she's skinny or she's got pretty hair, I just say the light in me recognizes the light in you. And I feel like there's just such a connection at that point between me and whoever this is on some level that I don't need to focus on any of those things.
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
I've been noticing lately is just how good-looking everyone is.
You know?
Everyone seems to be so much better looking lately. And I look at anyone and I'm just like playing poker and say, you know, that person is just really attractive. I can see, you know, everything in them, and it just sort of radiates as attractive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Especially myself. No, I'm just kidding.
Wendy, I've been doing my own version of what you're doing. It was brought to my attention that I don't really look a lot of people in the eyes. Really hadn't been. And so I'm like, the same way that you're saying the light in me sees the light in you, I've just been making an effort to just look people straight in their eyes and see sort of through everything else, through the exterior into them. Yeah. And that, so I've been feeling a deeper connection just like you are, like in that sort of way, by just trying to see who they really
are. Seeing them. Yeah, actually seeing them.
Right.
Like the difference between listening and hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. Well, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul or something like that. Yeah. Right.
It does. It fosters like more of a feeling of connectedness for me.
Yeah.
Well, the illusion is we're not connected, you know.
Yeah.
And this is also because of our survival instinct and how, you know, we're influenced by, you know, centuries of living in tribes or groups, defending ourselves from other groups, you know, and being wary of other people. I think that it doesn't seem to make sense, but look at the Balkan wars against the Serbs and the Croatians. They were living together peacefully for decades, and then one thing happens, and they're back into their old groups that had existed for centuries before that. Isn't it weird? You think that, you know, we've gone so many years without war, and we're so used to our generation, so used to living in peace.
Right.
You know, I've never been in a war. I've never had to defend myself. I've never been through that. It just seemed like we're over that already. But yet, we can be thrown back into it at any time if we're not paying attention.
But what's funny is that, like, our country has been at war this whole time, but we're so insulated from it. I don't know.
It would be a different thing if we were drafted, you know?
Right.
So the idea now is that, okay, those who want the experience of that can have that. You know, and those of us who don't want that don't have to have it, and we don't have to think it's wrong. But it is weird how that is still part of this life we're living, that still exists, that there's still the potential for having to get into groups and defend yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that all comes then back to your persona and judgment and being liked, because when you were in those groups, you had to be liked. You had to be useful. Mm-hmm. You had to have some value to the group or they would get rid of you.
Right.
So it's weird that it's all kind of connected to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been living for about 100 years where you didn't really need the persona to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And we personally have never lived where we had the persona have to hold on to it. But somehow it seems like it's ingrained in us either by our culture or by something more deep than that.
Yeah.
I think.
Didn't Joshua talk about like the DNA and how certain patterns can change your DNA, but now we can also go back in and change our DNA back because we were so focused on that mentality for so many years and the environment and everything that, like, I guess it's evolution. Our DNA evolved to contain that, and now we can take it back to not needing that anymore.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And Astrid is channeling some stuff that she's only been sharing with Joshua that is like way beyond this stuff. It's like really leading edge. It's like even more so. That'll be interesting when she decides to share that. Astrid, are you listening?
Right now,
Astrid, I'm having fun. Yeah.
Come back to the round table, Astrid.
If you've been fired.
Okay. All right. Next paragraph.
All right. However, if you choose to perceive it as wrong, then you have chosen a perspective that does not align with your inner self, and you're given an emotion that doesn't feel good. It might be annoyance or maybe hatred. It is your indication that a limited belief exists within you, and this belief is in stark contrast to the version of you who you must become so that all you want can manifest into your reality.
So, yeah, if you perceive it as wrong, then you've chosen a perspective that doesn't align with your inner self, and you're giving it the emotion that doesn't feel good. That's your indication that you've chosen this limited perspective. So,
what a great system.
It's a pretty interesting system. So the focus is maintaining a perspective that is aligned with your inner self. Attention draws your awareness of the thing, and then the focus is you're either aligned with how your inner self sees this, because your inner self is always focused in a way that is beneficial to you, or you choose some other way to perceive it, and then you'll get a notice, hey, you're off course here. Try that again. Look at it a different way. And you know, we're going to be off course all the time, but it's the ability to get back on course quickly, you know, so you don't build up any momentum.
And the trick is to trust when you do have, because we're so used to, some of us are so used to not feeling good, then it's just our normal. And the trick is to trust that when we're not feeling good, it is that we're getting that sign that we're not in alignment with our inner self, and to trust it and to remember it.
Yeah. And that feeling bad isn't mean you're bad. It has no attachment to you as a person.
Right.
It's just like the bumps on the side of the road.
Message. Okay.
Okay. Next one.
The system is simple. You can place your attention on anything and then use your focus to see it as good and right. If you notice it, then you are a vibrational match to it, which means that it is there for you to see. If you were not a match to it, you could not perceive it. It would not be possible. If you perceive it in any way, then there's something for you in it. If you see it as good, then you benefit from it because you add what is good about it to your vibration. If you see it as bad, then you add whatever you think is bad about it to your vibration. However, the only possible reason you could see anything as bad is due to fear. The fear is irrational and can be processed.
Yes.
Okay.
So?
Keep going.
No, if the fear is irrational, then it can be processed. But Do we ever stop and really process the fear, or we just say, no, that's wrong. There is no fear here. It's just wrong as it is.
I've been doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more and more. I mean, I'll stop myself and say, okay, what is this fear? Because I'll have this. And a couple times I've had to write to Joshua because I can't. It's so wonderful to have them to just say, what is this? Well, I can't get to the core of this. And their perspective helps me change my perspective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good.
Well, it's just, even if you can't identify the fear, you can change your perspective. So sometimes you can't figure out the fear.
Right.
Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Like when you're annoyed with somebody, what's really the fear there? It's such a minor thing. It's hard to figure out what the fear is. It doesn't even feel like there could possibly be a fear. I'm just annoyed. I'm just bored. You know, if you're bored, what's the fear there? Yeah. And so it's harder to understand that there's a fear to identify it. And that's not really that necessary. If you can say, hey, I can do anything I want right now. This person doesn't really affect me. I send my light to their light. You know, I connect with them.
Right.
And just do whatever you can to get back to that. As soon as you start feeling good, even if it's just contentment, that's your notification that you're on a better perspective.
Right. Wasn't that in a question from the roundtable a couple of weeks ago where they said you don't have to find the specific fear. You can just process the general feeling.
Right.
Right.
And sort of the same result.
But you got to do something. You can't just linger in it. Right. You know?
No.
It's that is the work. The work is to realize when you're feeling negative emotion and then to find a way to feel better.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hang on.
Yeah, you can get frustrated because then if you don't know what the fear is, and then you can really, if when you try too hard, then that can frustrate you and then can lower your vibration even more.
Because then you're focusing, what's wrong with me here? What do I need to change?
Yeah. But, overthinking.
Yeah.
But it is, go ahead.
The example that you just used of finding somebody annoying, what I've been doing with that lately is when I find myself in that place, just, I mean, I guess, zooming out and saying, I'm creating this. So I don't have to figure out what it is specifically about the person, but I'm creating this. So whatever it is, I made them that way. So it is happening for me. So whatever, you know.
And yeah, just, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, generally. I guess it's like having unpleasant thought. It's an indication that your vibration is attracting these unpleasant thoughts. An annoying person is your indication that your vibration is attracting someone who you perceive as annoying.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Alter your vibration by thinking different things, by, you know, changing that and now seeing what comes. Or by focusing on them in a way that makes them not annoying. So you're
seeing how they're right.
Seeing how they're right. So you're actually doing the work to change your vibration in the moment.
And then what happens, I mean, even if you work on changing your thought and your reality still doesn't change right away, to not let that get you off track, to just keep maintaining, right? Because sometimes it doesn't happen right away. You don't see an immediate change.
There's the lag of time. This whole physical reality is a time and space thing. And so it might happen right away. You might leave there and get the first parking spot, or you might see something, you know, or you might choose something to focus on that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
And that's really all you're doing in the moment anyway. So it could be instantaneously, and you could see it come later on in the day.
So going back to that idea of not having to find a specific fear, weren't there a couple answers or a few answers where Joshua said, you don't have to figure out why you think the thing is wrong. You just have to find a way to see it as right.
Yeah. And they also told me when I got hung up on that to experiment with my feelings and experiment with how I'm viewing people or how I'm viewing the situation and kind of like try it on and see how that feels. And then, oh, that feels kind of good. And you could slowly bring yourself back up versus I'm this way. Now I'm this way. No, you kind of go through a little few steps to get there. And that's a good feeling.
Yeah, the idea of experimentation is a really powerful one because you're not attached to anything. You're just doing it for an experiment, right?
Right, exactly. And that works so well for me because I didn't attach to anything. I could just say, okay, well, I'm going to try and see this person as perfectly right. And, you know, just it's almost comical then to when you're going through the steps looking at the person and, you know, looking at them as perfectly right when they're ranting about something. I find myself chuckling sometimes to myself because it's hilarious.
You know what?
That's better than getting annoyed or whatever.
Joshua did this experiment with Nikki. Did I tell you guys about this?
No.
So Nikki is just in the one-on-one. She's in the first few questions, maybe 15 or so. And Joshua says, she was like getting annoyed with her life and people in her life and all that stuff. And Josh was like, okay, so imagine you're 80 years old and you're looking back at this time in your life. Your son is 16. Your husband's here. You have your friends. You live in this place. She lives she lives near Paris, in a community near Paris. And imagine that you get to choose 1 week to go back to experience your life 30 years before, or whatever it is before. And that week you've chosen is this week. So now when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to be transported back into this week. And you're going to see what it was like to be with your son who's 16. Because after this week, he's going to get interested in other things and he's going to end up moving out and all this stuff. You get to see what your husband's like at this age. You get to see what your friends are like and what they were focusing on, you know, and all the things they were interested in back in May 2017.
Wow.
And so she woke up the next day doing that, and she says it is the most incredible thing ever. She just observes how they're being and how much she appreciates being with them now, because she'll never have them this week again. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Perspective, baby.
Who was it? Was it Astrid that Joshua told, like, the best or the way to get the most out of any situation is just to approach it as a curious, open, honest observer?
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Okay, let's go to the next paragraph.
All right. Let's say that you see a man who is drunk in public and is making a scene. Now, you could look at this as wrong, as many people would. Seeing him as wrong is a reaction. He has caught your attention, and due to the fear you feel, for whatever reason, you react by judging him as being wrong. If you do this, then the focus of your attention is on the wrongness of his behavior, and you attract that and add it to your vibration. We must state here that you certainly do not want that added to your vibration. Can you see that if you add this negative judgment about this man's behavior to your vibration, you will attract more of that? This certainly will not bring you what you want. So then, why are you focusing on an aspect you personally do not like? It is because you are living by the old approach to life, which is one of control.
So if you see something like this person as wrong, what you want is for them to stop being wrong, which means you're trying to control the conditions that exist outside of you. That's the old approach to life. So you make laws about this and you call the police and have them hauled away. It's a very convenient way to get him out of your reality. But by judging him as wrong, then every time you see anyone to any extent of this, or even especially yourself, you will judge that as wrong as well. If you find yourself like Mark was last night, drinking too much, you're going to judge that as wrong, right? And you're going to attach yourself to that, and it's not going to make you feel good, and you don't want to bring that into your reality. Or, you know, Lily is really focused on dog poop. And so wherever we're walking, she's always worrying about dog poop. And she does get us out of the way of dog poop all the time, but she sees it all the time. I mean, it's constantly in her perception, never in mine. And for me personally, I don't really want it in my perception. Okay, maybe I'll step in it once or twice in my life, but I don't want to focus on it all the time.
Right.
Sorry, honey. Bye. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
What an analogy. Jeez.
Yeah, I use my wife as fodder for our conversations. Okay, so let's go to the next one.
All right. Those living by the old approach to life place their focus of attention on things they believe are bad or wrong, and they attempt to control the conditions by banning them from existence, like dog poop. Goes against the laws of the universe and can never work. In fact, this approach adds what they believe is wrong to their vibration, and the opposite of what they want occurs. Instead of removing what they do not like from their reality, they actually bring more of it into their reality, like dog poop.
Yep.
It's counterintuitive, we know, but this is the fundamental law of the universe. It is the law of attraction. In an attractive universe, you cannot destroy or push away. You can only attract. When you focus your attention on the negative aspects of anything, you bring more of that into your existence.
That's just how this universe works. It's attractive.
Yeah.
And 99.999% of what exists in our life is really good.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isabel, are you there? Okay.
There you go.
So in your question, Joshua was saying how you know, you have this natural ability to create this life that is really, really good. And that a lot of people don't have that. You know, the way that Isabel talks to herself and perceives her reality is one that causes this momentum of good stuff to keep happening in her life. Mm-hmm. You know, because you are naturally focused on what you think is good. And so, therefore, your life is good. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like to be positive.
Yeah. So you're a naturally, were you always positive?
Yes. People, they're like, you wake up happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to Mark.
Well, I think all of us have pretty much somehow figured out that being positive creates this overall environment of a really fantastic life. Yeah. Mm. You see people who are just negative and bitter and are looking at what's wrong all the time, and you can just see that their life is so much more difficult than ours.
Yeah.
And on the outside, a lot of people will create this life that looks good, but if they're not happy and enjoying it, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like.
Yes. Right. Yes. I have a lot of that around where I live.
Yeah.
A lot of people creating these false personas and false lives. And then when you figure out what's really going on, they're miserable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they're trying to control the conditions to make it look like they're doing well.
Yes. All about how they're perceived.
Right.
Yes.
But
that's why watching the housewives of New Jersey or New York is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
The trappings of materialism. Mm. Okay. You will judge. That is human. You place your attention on it and you judge it. The way you decide to judge it is what will come to you. If you judge it as bad, you bring the bad. If you judge it as good, you attract more good. Your focus is what determines how you judge something. Your emotions will let you know if your judgment is in agreement with your inner self or not. If you feel bad, you are choosing a limited perspective and fear enters the picture. You will want to remove the fear by changing the conditions, but this cannot work. Instead, you must focus on the positives of anything. If you can't do that, you must remove your attention from it.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so that's the idea here. You will judge. That's just how it is. I think the survival instinct causes us to judge, and we just get into this habit of judging everything. If you judge it as bad, you're going to add that to it. If you judge it as good, then you add that to it. And if you can't judge it as good, then you just have to leave the room. Remove your attention from it.
Yeah.
And I think that the more you practice judging things as good, the easier it is to judge the more difficult things as good. You know? When that bomb went off in Manchester at the Ariana Grande concert, there were a lot of people on Facebook talking about how are we going to see this as good? How are we going to talk to our friends who are seeing it as something as bad? And I really didn't have an answer for that, you know. So I just decided not to comment on it and just to stay out of it, you know. So I was removing my attention from it.
Well, I think it would take very high level thoughts and perceptions to view that as good. I mean, we all know there is no wrong. So you have to start going into things like they all agreed to this, it was pre-planned, but that's hard to swallow.
Yeah, and there's some purpose to it. Well, what's the purpose?
Some purpose,
you know. Well, awareness. We can't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever it may be.
I think you had a podcast, the Paris attacks.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, in the Paris attacks and in the Orlando, you could see that in the Paris attacks, everyone came into the streets and said, "We will not be afraid."
Yeah.
And that Joshua quote about that was from that picture, and then and it says, "We are not afraid." I think it's what it says. The signs that people held up in this huge mass support that we're going into the streets, you can do whatever you want, you're not going to diminish us. And then in the Orlando attacks, it was this huge display of support and love for the gay community. Mm-hmm. And in the Boston Marathon attack, it was this huge support for Boston and pouring of love into it. And this is more complex than this Manchester one. You know, I've always wondered why Wales and dolphins beach themselves. And you can sort of see, well, this is bringing attention to whales and mm-hmm. love to whales, and that mm-hmm. this desire to preserve whales and to preserve their habitat and to stop whaling and this, you know, how we used to not think anything about whaling 100 years ago, and now it's like we are adamantly against whaling, most of us.
Sure.
You know, and to see, you know, Japan continuing this practice, it's like that is a very strange thing. It doesn't seem to make any sense in this day and age that they would do that, and I think it's because this whales beaching themselves brings our attention on them, and we focus in a way to help them. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, school shootings and the like, focus in a way to help that. But this was a weird one because I couldn't see how this was beneficial, and maybe we'll see it later. You know, if you ever – we do this all the time when we're at parties. There's an Ariana Grande skit in Saturday Night Live where she's an intern working at this Pandora-like company that's losing connection to, you know, Celine Dion. And so can you do Celine Dion? You know, so she sings Celine Dion and Mariah Carey and all these. And it's just amazing how talented she is. And then for this to happen at her concert is just sort of weird because we see that. We were just watching it 2 days ago. 3 days ago, it was. Yeah. Hmm. Funny.
Huh. Yeah.
But maybe we'll find out later how this happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you were to watch the news, you would see several stories. The stories would be portrayed in a way that is designed specifically to bring out fear in the viewers. Fear is seductive, and the media understands this. Fear creates emotions, and people who are not used to focusing their attention get swept up in the emotions. They are unaware that their emotions are actually guidance, letting them know that when they focus on fearful things, they draw them into their experience. If you can watch the news and see the positive side of every story, then you have chosen to focus in a way that is beneficial to you. If you cannot do that, then your power of focus is not ready for the news, and so it is best to turn it off and remove your attention from it. When you choose the way you focus on anything that captures your attention, you are actively and consciously creating the reality you prefer. This is the power of focus. With our love, we are Joshua.
So I think that really sums up what focus is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's really good.
And attention, yeah. So focus, I mean, we always hear that word focus, and it's just focusing on things in a way that's empowering, and you choose how to focus on everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a cool question. That was like the first question that Joshua answered this week. And I'm like, oh, this has got to be the question of the week.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of another wonderful and exciting and interesting podcast.
Was this the best one, you think?
Best one ever.
This is definitely the best one.
And this is the best one?
Yep. This is the best one we've ever had. You are all lucky that you are here listening to the best one we've ever had. And until the best one we're ever going to have again is next week, we'll see you then. So if you have a question, I don't know what to do, really, because I'm so inundated with questions, I can't even answer them. You're on your own. I was going to say, you know, write one in. Actually, what you should do, if you have a question, go to our Friends of Facebook page and post it there. And then you get a bunch of input, because there's a lot of people who are bringing forth infinite intelligence. And if you're not on that Facebook page, just send an email to joshuateachings@gmail.com and we'll add you to that Facebook group. It's really a great place to be. There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing what's going on actually there.
Kyla, can't they also just find the page, Friends of Joshua?
They can.
Asked to be invited? Because I've seen a couple of invite requests and clicked on them.
So right. We had some people... Sorry, we had some people in the beginning who said that when they searched, they couldn't find it. But I have an old Facebook account that was deactivated. So I logged in and searched for it, and I was able to find it. So you should just be able to search Friends of Joshua. But if you can't, send an email, like Gary said, to joshuateachings@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And we can get in there.
And sometimes it helps when you search, then you can choose where to search. So you can choose in groups. Oh. So Friends of Joshua, and then choose group.
Searching groups. That's clever.
Yeah. Remarkable.
Remarkable. Yeah. Hey, Mark, you did a great job reading that.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yep.
Fantastic.
And I know it doesn't define you, but I just want to say we appreciate it.
Thank you.
You are a good ballerina. You are a good ballerina. Do you guys know that reference?
I do.
I do. What's that about?
It was like Josh was talking about, you can't define yourself. So if someone said to you, you're a bad ballerina, that wouldn't really bother you, you know?
Yeah, they were talking to me and they said, like, if your mom were to come to you and say, you're a bad mom and your kids should be with their dad, that would hurt because you have limiting belief. You know, there's some part of you believes that. That's true.
Right.
But if they came, you know, if somebody told you were a bad ballerina, it wouldn't affect you at all because you wouldn't care because you've never tried to be a ballerina. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So no matter how you're complimented, I mean, compliment is certainly take that with you, or no matter how you're, what's the opposite of complimented?
Criticized.
Especially criticism. Criticism, you're not that which people criticize you for.
I got scared for a second because I'm like, how does Joshua know I dress up as a ballerina sometimes? It's like I'm busted now.
Please post that picture on Facebook.
Yeah.
And,
if you don't
have a picture, please make one.
Yeah. Make us a picture. Yeah.
I want to see it. All right, you guys. Looking forward to the Joshua Cruise in September. And we are getting a bunch of people coming to that. That's going to be the most fun thing in the world.
Do we have any have signed up so far? Do you know, Gary?
Well, I think we sold out of the original bunch of rooms that we had. So now we're adding more rooms.
How many?
Yeah. I'm guessing 30 people so far, but we haven't even scratched the surface of who's going to come. So a group of 30, though, would be a really good group.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think, didn't she have a block of 20 rooms or something?
We had 20 rooms, and those
people,
are sold
out. I guess maybe some people are by themselves. Yeah.
Rooms, yeah.
But yeah.
And all of our rooms are together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah, and it's a very cool place.
We could just have adjoining rooms and open up all the doors, and we could run back and forth through all the rooms.
Basically like the cruise. The cruise was like
Mark
that.
Mark in his ballerina outfit. It would be
a show for us, Mark.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to bring it to the cruise.
Please do bring your flashlight.
All seven of them.
Bring your flashlight.
All right.
I don't think that's something we can share. Hey, you guys, until next week, have a great week. And we will see you at Joshua Live on Monday. Until then, focus on what is good. Or focus on everything in a way that's good.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. See you later.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.